Thanks for joining us. Welcome back to Latina to Latina. If your cool tía didn't teach you how to apply the perfect red lip, then Iricel Pueyo will. On YouTube, Iricel's mix of beauty know-how, humor, and honesty, she will legit tell you when a product just isn't worth the money, has earned her over 1 million loyal subscribers.
Welcome to the crazy family, and if you've already been here, it's already part of the family. I gotta give you a head swing. That means you already know you're part of the family. Today's video, I'm very excited because we partnered up with Bobby Brown for Hispanic Heritage Month. It's like so cool because it's my cultura and it's like celebrating me, and I'm working with Bobby Brown. Like, that's bomb.
I got all twisted, Iricel, because I know you as Iris Belin, because that is your handle on Instagram. I feel like I you're living a lie.
I know. When people put me there, like, wait, it's not Iris Belin? And I'm like, no, it's Iricel. And the Belin is my second name. And they're like, oh.
Does that afford you a little bit of privacy?
Yes, because they don't know. They think it's Iris Belin, everything. I'm like, no, it's Iricel.
How often are you in full face?
Once a week.
Really?
Yeah, I'm sweating. Like, I'm sweating now. I'm sweating all day. No,
but your
I can't.
Skin looks perfect right
Thank
now.
Thank you, because I use, what's my favorite? First Aid skincare.
So I put on a full face of makeup for you.
Oh, and you look beautiful,
yeah, thank
though.
You.
You look beautiful.
Thanks.
You look beautiful.
I basically begged for that compliment.
You look beautiful. You look beautiful. I'm like sweating right now.
No, you look like dewy and it's
so
stop.
Sweat. It's so sweat. It's so sweat.
You were born in Panama.
Mm-hmm.
What's your earliest memory of Panama?
Fun. It was such a, like, I was a kid. I feel like now kids don't have that, what we had, like, when I was growing up. I remember getting dirty, going outside, playing, going outside with my little panties and the little, like, that was me. And my mom would let me be free, be myself, my hair all crazy. Just happiness. That's what I remember being with my family.
Mm-hmm. So you go to high school.
Uh-huh.
You graduate from high school.
Uh-huh.
Then what happens?
Nothing. I was a bum. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I told my mom I wanted to do makeup, but she's like, what are we going to do? I'm like, I don't know. So I used to just stay at home until my mom, I didn't work. My family used to work. I used to be at home, be a bum, literally. And 18 years old came, and my brother was like, okay, we need to do something with this child because we're not going to be taking care of her. And I was like, okay, whatever. So my mom made me work at the cherries. I was picking cherries and sorting cherries for 13 hours. Yeah. Literally, like, standing up, sorting cherries with worms and all that. That was my first job.
Mm-hmm.
And then from
Is
there.
Is that what your mom did?
Yeah, in Stockton, it's like, you need to find it where you get it kind of thing. And that's what I did. And in that moment, I was like, I need to do something for my life because I don't see myself doing this. So that was my first job. And then from there kind of went, but I still love makeup.
No, wait, no. You do not jump from sorting cherries to being a YouTube sensation. Okay,
right.
So you're sorting the cherries.
Uh-huh.
And then what's the next job?
So then sorting cherries, I think cherry season is like 3 to 4 months or 6 months. I think it's 4 months. So we sorted cherries, all that. My second job after that was Pizza Hut. I was in Pizza Hut for a cute 2 years.
The cashier? And think about that. The next time I'm like, where's my pizza? I bet this person could be a huge star. I don't know.
Right? Yeah, Pizza Hut for like 2 years. And I would still wear makeup there. It would be, so, you know how I saw you see me just have my meltdown. And they're sweating, but I have mascara, lipstick, everything with my Pizza Hut hat all the time. Yeah, Pizza Hut. And then what was the next thing? It was Torrid. It was a store. The mall, then Edible Arrangements, and then MAC Cosmetics. MAC Cosmetics is what really took me there.
Okay, but how did you make the jump from Edible Arrangements to MAC Cosmetics?
I was at Torrid, and Torrid was in the mall. So I remember one time I forgot my pink lipstick that I was wearing. Pink Neville by MAC, I never forget. And that day I'm going into work, and I was like, oh, let me stop up at the MAC counter. So I stopped there, and I saw, like, I used to know everybody from the MAC counter, and nobody was there. It was like all new people, and I was like, wait a minute. Who's here, whatever. And then this lady looked at me and she goes, oh, what's your name? And I look at her and I'm like, why? Because I never seen her before. And it's crazy that, you know, she offered me a job because I didn't think the way that I responded. I was like, why? Why are you asking me what's my name, you know? And then she just looked at me and she goes, do you want to work here? Like, that's what I always wanted to become, a mad girl. And it was just kind of like, and even the people at the counter used to tell me, why don't you apply? And I'm like, no, I don't think I'm good enough. And it's funny how when something is yours, God would just bring it, you know? And I was like, I would love to work here. And that's how it started. working at MAC and I fell in love with makeup. I learned and I started sharing it on Instagram. I did it because I loved it. I wanted to inspire and be inspired by others. And that's what pushed me to just be better, because I started taking pictures of my makeups. So I started seeing how it looked. I was more detailed, and that's how I grew.
So you just learned on the job?
Oh, yeah.
You never went to beauty school?
No. Mm-mm. You watching YouTube videos and working at MAC Cosmetics. Mm-hmm.
And then when did you start making videos?
I started making videos like 2008. And I'm so mad that I deleted those videos, because you would have laughed. I started making videos and you could hear like all my family in the background, like everybody screaming. And I'm in there like, this is what you used to put mascara. Like, I didn't even know the name of stuff. I used to use bronzer as a foundation. Like, it was, I wish that I didn't delete those videos.
Why did you delete them?
Because I was embarrassed. Because at the moment, I didn't know who I was yet. I was embarrassed of my accent. I used to be judged for my accent, so I would try to talk more proper. But I can't talk proper. It's just like, this is me. Like, you see all this action. I can't be like still and like, no. So I was embarrassed and I deleted them.
Who made you feel bad about your accent?
People. Because I was different. And also Stockton, it's, well, not now, but maybe like before, people were more close-minded. Like, how you black and you speak Spanish? That don't make no sense. So I used to be like, I don't know. I didn't understand. So I used to just be like, well, yeah. And I remember I wanted to be Mexican. That was my thing. I wanted to be Mexican. So I used to hang out with a bunch of Mexicanos and I love them. My nieces are Mexican, everything. I'm a little Mexican. But I used to be like, I'm Mexican, because I did not want to deal with the questions.
So there was clarity around being Mexican?
Yeah. Because everybody over there is like almost Mexican. So for me, I was like, okay, I'm Mexican. I speak Spanish. I'm Mexican.
And were you embraced by the other black girls?
No. I used to be bullied. So that's why. Because I'm like, if the ones that look like me don't even like me, so why would I even, you know? So, no, I was bullied. They used to pull my hair. And it was horrible. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're working at MAC.
Mm-hmm.
And when's the moment when all of a sudden it becomes real to you? Where it goes from being a thing you're doing on the side to being, like, what caught people's attention?
Well, when I show who I was, when I show my personality. Because I remember clearly that people were like, oh, we like your makeup. And then when Instagram video came out, remember, I don't know if you, 15 seconds videos. I made my first video talking about hola Instagram. People were like, wait, what are you? So that's where it started. And that's when I was like, oh. But in there wasn't a job then. I used to not make money out of it. It was just, I'd do it for fun.
So talk me through the process of how it goes from being something you do for fun to being something that you make money doing.
Like when companies started reaching out and like, hey, we want to pay you to promote this, da 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 da. I'd be like, wait, you want to pay me to promote your product? Like, I already love your product. What? Like, that's when it kind of like it just fell in my lap.
So how many years into doing it?
I've been doing this since started. I had a long Instagram in around 7 years. Yeah. And I started making money. It's going to be 3 years. So the first 3 years, it was struggle. People think, I moved to LA. I moved to LA to a little, like, how do you call it? Little studio. 500 square feet. There was cockroaches. There were mouse. There was everything. And I had 400,000 people on Instagram. People thinking that when you got whatever you, no. We make it look like that, but I'm like, nah. I come from the struggle and kind of build myself up for where I'm at now. So, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're in your studio.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you learn to make those videos?
I just Google and YouTube. I bought a camera and I was like, we're going to do this. I bought a computer and I was working on Mac at that moment. And I was kind of getting tired of it. I remember I used to be like, I'm done. And then in a moment in my life, that's all I wanted, to become a Mac girl. But, you know, you need change. So I was like, I'm done. I don't want to work retail anymore. I'm like, God, what you want me to do? Because I can't do this anymore. And I remember praying to God and just being like, God, just guide me. What's next? I know that I don't have 400,000 people on Instagram for no reason. I know there's something bigger here. And I started praying and nothing will come. And one time I remember getting ready to go to work at MAC. And it was the worst shift, the one that I hated, from 3 o'clock to 9 o'clock closing. I hated closing. Ugh, because my day was gone. So I remember I'm getting ready in the mirror, putting my eyeshadow on, and I'm crying. I'm like, I can't do this anymore. And God told me, put your 2 weeks in. And I was like, wait a minute. No. I was thinking that I will know when I will hear that I will be like, yes, this time. No, it was more like, what? No, hold on. So I remember I was like, okay, God, I don't know. And I went to work and I told my manager and I'm like, I'm putting my 2 weeks in. And she was so excited. She was like, everything's going to be fine. And I was like, I don't know everything. But that was the moment that I stepped on faith and I trust them. And things just started happening. So if I never would have quit Mac out of fear and not stepping in faith, I would still be working at Mac.
You left the job and you stepped into faith.
Mm-hmm.
What did that look like?
Scary. It's like you're diving into it. You don't know what you see. Because I'm like, God, I'm trusting you. I don't see what's going on, but I trust you. And doors started opening. But that was after like 8 months of me quitting Mac. Like, I never miss a meal. I never miss my rent. My rent was like $800 at that time. He always provide. Was I comfortable? No. But I never miss anything.
And how did things become secure?
When I signed with my management now, with Eric, yeah. Like, the way that he take care of the team and everything, he goes hard for us. And I love that.
So what does that look like?
It's fun. It's just like, you know, companies reach out and then we love having a relationship with the companies. That's what something that I'm very passionate about. I need to like the product before I talk about it because people know me from being real and if I don't like something. So we need to have a relationship with the company before we even put it out there. It's fun. Like my job is to play with makeup, put it on and show it for you guys. And I get paid for it. Mm-hmm.
Is there a part of you that's like this gig's going to end one day?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been thinking about that lately. But that's, again, where my faith comes in. And I know that God is going to just, if it's another route, he's going to have me covered. I think about it because I see it happening, how YouTube has changed the beauty community and Instagram. So it's kind of like, but fear don't come from God. So I'm like, no, I'm good. God got me.
Well, I think a lot of it, I don't know if you saw that recently it came out that Facebook was inflating its video view numbers. And I think about, for those of us who are content creators, mm-hmm. how much we're at the mercy of these platforms mm-hmm. that we don't own.
Mm-mm.
We don't own YouTube. We don't own Instagram. They could disappear tomorrow.
Like this.
And then
we're done. Yeah.
Or we learn to migrate ourselves over to the next.
I know. I'm like, what's going to be the next thing? But it's just what it's showing now. It's how much control they're having over us. And I don't like that. That's one of the parts that I hate about this industry that I'm in is the control they have over us now. And I hate that because I don't like people having control over me.
What are some of the ways that being Latina influence your work?
The way I am, like, I wouldn't change that for anything. Like, my personality, how I carry myself. I'm very outspoken. You know, it might be English, Spanish twisted. You know, I don't even know what I'm trying to say half the time, but I make up words. It's just me. Like, I love being me because I didn't know that before. I didn't appreciate and love who I was before. And now that I'm learning that, it's such a beautiful thing.
I'm just going to let you guys know right quick. Every time I'm going to do tutorials, I'm going to be in a robe and a towel because that means that I took a shower and I don't feel like doing my hair until the end. I don't even know why I'm giving you guys a stipulation. I have a hair towel and that's it. Si no te gusta, you know what to do.
When did you learn the term Afro-Latina?
I learned the term Afro-Latina when I made my first Instagram video. Somebody pointed it out and I was like, oh, I'm Afro-Latina. And then I reached out, I'm like, Afro-Latina. And that's how I've been saying it forever. I'm Afro-Latina.
And did that like feel right to you?
Yes. Yes, because I was never good enough to just be Latina. Why? Because I'm dark-skinned. Because people's not used to seeing that. Now it's like more open and I love that. So before that, I'm like, I'm just Latina. But they were like, you're Latina? But like, why are you black?
What's the feedback you get from other Latinas and from other Afro-Latinas?
The only one that I have right now is Monica. That's my baby right there. So we're really, really close. I know Afro-Latinos in the industry, but Latina, another one, like in the beauty space. Oh my gosh, don't kill me if I say this.
No, I mean more like your followers.
Oh no, they love it because they see themselves in me. They're like, I don't have to hide anymore. I could be myself and I'm okay with that because the way you carry yourself, the way you are. So I love that. You know, I never thought that I was going to impact so many people, you know, and I didn't think, even me growing up, I didn't think that it was a problem not having Afro-Latinas out there. And now that I'm older, I see it. Because now when I see novelas from back then, because I'm into it, Netflix watching novelas from back then, I'm like, there's no black people in here. And we were okay with that. Like, we are brainwashed to think that that's okay. It's not okay. So now, if there's no black cast, we ain't watching. We ain't supporting. No. They better get it together.
Mm-hmm. Most of your work on your channel is very fun and very funny. And the person that I have in front of me, which is why I was sort of stopped in my tracks by one of the videos you did that got a lot of attention, which was about...
there's a lot of those.
Well, the one that stood out to me was the one about disordered eating.
Oh, yeah.
And about diet pills.
Yeah.
How did you know you had a problem?
When I almost died. But I kept on doing it. Because, that's one of the things. Moving to LA, you feel like you got to be little and skinny. I'm not built like that. I came to the conclusion that I'm not built like that. And I love food. I love eating. But I just had to do it until like my mom came and she took care of me and she found them again. And she was like, don't call me again if you're dying. Cause I'm not going to, you know, all that. But
so how young were you when you started trying to control your weight?
All my life. It's been a struggle. And even when I've been at my smallest, I always feel big. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so huge. I can't. But like now that I'm learning to love myself, this is me. And am I going to be healthier not for myself? Of course, but not doing it for nobody else.
When you say you almost died, what happened?
I was at work and I got sick. I got the flu. And I was taking the diet pills. And those diet pills, you can't mix it with anything. But I forgot. And I remember coming back from work in an Uber. And I told the Uber, I'm going to fall asleep back here. And I fell asleep in the Uber. I get into my little studio and I faint. I don't remember nothing after that. Then I wake up back again thirsty at 1 in the morning. And I crawl myself to the kitchen to go get water. And I call the ambulance. And thank God the hospital was across the street from my little place. And they gave me like eight, seven IVs because I was so dehydrated. And the doctor told me, like, if you wouldn't came, you probably would have died. And that's when he was like, do you do drugs? And I was like, no. And then he asked me again, do you do drugs? I said, I don't do drugs. And I started crying because I felt attacked. And he's like, you know, I took your blood, right? Like, you know, and it showed that I have meth in my blood. It was
meth?
Yeah. Yeah, those pills have meth in there. Because
where were you getting these pills from?
This illegal place. Yeah. And they make you lose weight. Like I was used to losing 30 pounds in a month. But I got side effects from that. Like now when I get the sweating attacks, everything is from that. I used to not have that before. I start panicking.
So there are still residual effects.
Oh, yeah. Panicking, shaking is from those pills. Yeah. Because I feel like I couldn't lose weight without those. So when I first lost my 5 pounds, it was so emotional for me because I was like, I did it without the pills. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to lose weight without these pills. Like I need these pills too. I became an addict. Like if I was running low, go get more. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why did you decide to share that story?
Because social media could be such a fake place. You know, everybody's trying to portray this perfect life. No one's life is perfect. I was always hiding. I don't hide nothing. I tell people what it is. That, I never share it because I didn't want to know what I didn't know. So that, I was like, I need to talk about this because there's so many people trying to portray this social media body. We got to be perfect. You know, we're not like that. We're not perfect. And it's okay to not be perfect. So I felt like I needed to share that for my sake and for a lot of people who were struggling with that. And when I was reading the comments, when I first posted the video, it was so, I couldn't stop crying. It was so touching. When people were telling me their stories, I was like, and then that moment, that's when you realize, wow, I should have done it sooner. That's when you realize I'm not the only one dealing with this. There's so many people dealing with it. So, yeah, I needed to share it.
How'd you pull yourself out of it?
God did. Not me. I had to get on my knees and pray. I feel like in life, you need to have one bad relationship because that's what, you need to be heartbreak. I never had that before. So I went through it and it was horrible.
Well, what did you learn from that bad relationship?
Love myself, know my worth, and not settle. Not settle. I needed to love myself first and put myself first before anybody else.
So for a girl who used to hang out in her mother's garage,
mm-hmm.
not working.
Yeah.
While her mother worked.
Yeah.
What does she think about your success now?
She's so proud of me. Oh my gosh, that's what it gives me, like, huh? My mom is proud of me. I love that lady so much. I'm gonna cry. My mom is amazing. She supports me in everything. She never judged me. She's proud of me. And that's what makes me happy. Like, my dream of everything is buying her house before I buy one. And I know that's going to come. Hopefully next year, I'm praying about it, is getting her that. Because my mom, it's like my motivation. Because I see how hard she worked and how everything that she did and how she brought us here for a better future for us and everything. She sacrificed her life for us, for me and my little brother. So she's proud.
Irisel, thank you so much.
No, thank you. This was so much fun. Thank you. Thank you.
If you love Latina to Latina and want to support the show, it's as easy as listening on Radio Public, a free, super easy app that works on iPhones and Android. It helps fans find and show love for podcasts like ours. When you listen to Latina on Radio Public, we earn a little bit with every episode you hear. We put a link in the show notes, so all you have to do is click. Thanks for listening and loving us.
Thanks for joining us today. Latina to Latina was originally co-created with Bustle. Now the podcast is executive produced by Juleka Lantigua-Williams and me. Amita Ganatra was the sound designer on this episode. Email us at hola@latinatolatina.com. Send us ideas for guests or talk to us about what's on your mind right now. Remember to subscribe or follow us on Radio Public, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you're listening. And please leave a review. We love hearing from you.